Good morning. Happy June 17th. The regularly scheduled meeting of the San Diego City Housing Commission for the month of June is hereby called to order at 9:10 a.m. Let the record reflect that we have 100% presence of the board, and then we'll go forward. Now we have two items, two requests. Well, I've still got my housekeeping. Okay, members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must complete a speaker request form, and I have a few of those here today. Anyone who didn't have an opportunity to fill out one, who's just dying to do so, please rush forward and do it. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes each. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. Non-agenda public comments are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Those who wish to address the board about a topic that is not on the agenda must fill out a white speaker's request form. Members of the public may also request to have an item pulled from the consent agenda once that's submitted to the board. And to speak on a matter on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form. Those who wish to speak in opposition to an item must complete the pink-colored form. I don't have to show it to you. And those who in favor of the item must complete a gold-colored form. I've got all three colors here, so if anyone needs an example, I can hold it up, but otherwise I'm going to proceed. So we have two requests to speak on non-agenda items, and the first one I'm going to call forward is Mark Smith. And as you know, when you get up there, push the button to turn the light on and identify yourself.
My name is Mark Smith. I live in San Diego Square, the recently renovated HUD Senior Building at 1055 9th Avenue. We have no heat in the evenings, even on the coldest nights. While San Diego has a mild climate, the lack of heat can be life-threatening for frail residents in their 80s and 90s and for those who have a cold or flu. Housing Development Partners chose to do unnecessary modifications to the building to increase the property value while neglecting necessary modifications like heat. Increasing property values is called gentrification. Gentrification decreases the amount of available affordable housing and increases homelessness. Because I complained about the lack of heat, the stress of living in the building during a year of major renovations, the way the new management runs the place more like a prison and less like a senior building, and other problems, somebody contacted social workers and told them I was mentally unstable, so I got a visit from the police. Coincidentally, the day after I made a public comment at a Housing Commission meeting, special meeting on June 3rd. I suppose I can expect another visit from the police tomorrow. The police were very polite and professional. After they'd questioned me and inspected my unit, they apologized for wasting my time. I told them it wasn't a problem. My landlord had done this before. One officer laughed and said, "Ruffled some feathers, huh?" And they left. Apparently, my landlords feel that my email complaints and public comments might be a sign of mental illness and might make me a danger to myself or others. I'm not a danger to myself, but my comments might pose a danger to the jet-setting lifestyles of those who have misused affordable housing money for gentrification while neglecting the basic needs of elderly tenants. Thank you.
And our second speaker is Martha Welch.
Martha Welch. In San Diego, we built the wrong thing. Things like the view up the street on 5th. Right next is 44, it looks like a HUD building, a flag. Up on 50, there's all of the up there. Simpson and down there, Raylan. Now, over there on 9th, by the trolley, there's a new one. You go up there. Ideal Vision. I have never seen in the city or this right here. I've never seen that. Woods Fields right now. We have to meet this. We have to meet the people who's the name. We have no about 30 years. We have the HUD, no Cedars, no, and no go now. Com 2-3 is go, right now. They're people only have signed. It's aperture. And you know what? Have three numbers, three names. But, Passe. And bit on a bit of this. Now, this building over here, but he talked about that. I have friends over there, too. I'm inside. Inside, it's not changed. There's nothing, no counters or anything. The pool is not the same. I have friends there. I've been to the pool. It's not changed. I've been there. I've seen what's going on in there. It looks good outside. I might say in San Diego, looking good, but it's not right what you did over there. A lot of money, you know. How much was it? Is in this article in this paper here? You said 7 million, and it says Montefiore is installed complete top to bottom. It's not true. I've been inside, remodeled new cabinets, countertops. I've been in a room. It's not true. She's about the third, fourth, and the top. And, you know, that's not right what you're doing here. All these rules we have in this county. You do things in this county, it's different. It's not the same. Everywhere in the state, it's different. Not the same here. And here we don't have, the building I have, three rents. You know, and then if you're good, the property is property of Section 8. That's not, it's supposed to go off the list. I'm from California, up in San Francisco. That's where I grew up. So I know about rent. And you don't have rents. You have houses and stuff. You don't face what I do. I'm a senior. And I have to look at the buildings. 5-year waits. That's not right. You know, 2 years, 2 to 3 years was about 2 years. But now it's 5 years to get in a building. And it's not right. Where I live, there's no kitchen, you see, in Potiker. They didn't put a kitchen in there.
Your 3 minutes are up.
Okay.
Next item on the agenda is commissioner comments. Commissioners, do any of you have anything you wish to speak to this morning? Seeing no indication of such, the next item is a report by the president, chief executive officer, who has a stand-in today. Very capable hands. So, Jeff, would you give the report?
I certainly will. First of all, I'd like to mention that Chair Gramling received the prestigious award of Commissioner of the Year at last month's Pacific Southwest Regional Conference of NARO. PSWRC is the regional chapter of NARO and covers the states of California, Arizona, Nevada, Hawaii, and the territory of Guam. Chair Gramling was selected from nominations from these areas and was recognized for his committed advocacy and involvement in creating permanent affordable housing units here in San Diego and for his advocacy in helping the homeless in San Diego rebuild their lives through Housing First Solutions. So staff wants to thank and congratulate Commissioner Gramling for his tireless efforts.
I keep waiting for them to have the conference in Hawaii. They don't do it.
I'm also happy to announce that the FY17 budget for the Housing Commission was approved unanimously this Tuesday by the Housing Authority. One more time, we'd really like to thank Commissioner Spoon for her support and her counsel during the building of our budget, and we'd also like to thank the board for their support. The City of San Diego was selected by HUD on June 6th as one of 9 new promise zones. The Housing Commission was a key partner in the application for this designation. The designation means that the city has the opportunity to obtain additional federal financing to revitalize specific economically disadvantaged areas, and these include Barrio Logan, Encanto, and Southeast San Diego. Our president and CEO continues to actively advocate for affordable housing, and he recently sent a letter to Governor Brown in support of the governor's proposal to streamline affordable housing approvals, and this was included in the state's budget. The proposal includes what we know it to be very important to the board, elements that will reduce the cost of production of affordable housing. And there's a copy of that letter before you. Also, Rick sent a letter to State Assembly Member Lorena Gonzalez, who is a member of the California Budget Committee, seeking her support to invest $650 million in the state's budget to create much-needed affordable housing. We're happy to announce that the final budget did include $400 million, and negotiations are now underway on the details of how that money will be utilized. Our 1,000 Veterans Initiative continues to progress. On June 7th, we launched a Housing Our Heroes rental listing service for our prospective landlords to list their properties and details of their properties for free. For your information, to date, just over 100 homeless veterans have been housed as a result of this initiative. Commissioner Moraga and our CEO, Rick Gentry, were at the grand opening of Westminster Manor Apartment Homes on May 18th. And this was a renovation of 150 apartments for low-income seniors. It included new kitchens, new showers, new windows and floors, as well as a large community room and computer-equipped library. So these 150 units are now preserved as affordable for the next 55 years for low-income seniors. The makeover was completed in partnership with Chelsea, Westminster Manor, and Senior Housing Corporation. And last but not least, I am very proud to announce that our finance department has received the Government Finance Officers Association Certificate of Excellence for the fiscal year 2015 CAFR. This is the eighth consecutive year the Housing Commission has received this award, so congratulations to our finance department on continuing to achieve excellence on behalf of our agency. And that concludes the CEO comments.
Okay. Thank you. I'm now going to propose that several items be moved over to the consent agenda, and I'm proposing that items 100, 101, 102, 103, and 106 be moved to consent. That's my motion. Is there a second? It is moved and seconded that those items be moved to consent. However, before I call the vote on that, I have received a request to speak opposed to item 106, so I'm going to allow that person to speak now. And then if the board is swayed by that person's argument, we'll remove that from the consent proposal. So, Martha, would you step forward again and speak specifically on item 106?
You almost do all three at the same time. 106. I'm not really opposed to the what they're building. This is what I'm opposed to. 50 years. Same Sandy rules. Designee. Who's that? We know Bill Horn. Now we have AIM. Who is that person has Abbott? I don't know. Right now, I notice on the county, I don't think that's right, 30%, 40%, 40%, 50%, 60%. I don't like this AIM stuff. I don't think it's right. I'm the only county and city that does in California. Now, that's what I'm against, all this stuff. You have 50 years. Why? What's going to do after that? It's not right. It should be forever. The designee, I've never heard this person. I know who he is. I'm fighting against him. You can Google him now, you know that? Now, AIM, that's wrong. That's what I'm opposed about this. All three of them, that's what I'm opposed about. The rules you use in San Diego.
Okay. Martha, shall I presume then that you've already, that since those arguments are the same?
One thing about one of them is just a little different.
Well, then tell me which number, and when that one comes up, I'll call
it. It's 104.
Okay, when that one comes up, I'll give you another opportunity. Okay, members of the board, Frank?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm supportive of the consent calendar. I just have a question to staff on item 100, please. This is the item on the liability insurance. The staff report depicts this or doesn't explain on what other types of coverages we may have. That is this Is this the only commercial liability insurance coverage that we have, or do we have others as well?
Good morning. I'm Tracy McDermott, Chief Financial Officer. I'm here to answer your question. We do have several policies. We have about 19 we renew annually, ranging from $400 to $465,000 a year renewal rates. But we do have, we have vehicle liability, we have cyber liability, we have fiduciary liability, we have property insurance, we have workman's comp. All of these add up to about $1.1 million in policy expense, and I'd be happy to provide an overview going forward of all of our insurances if you would like that.
Thank you. I just wanted to get an understanding. It's only this policy, on this commercial general liability policy, having to cover the pesticide liability, the sexual abuse liability, terrorism liability, and the mold and fungi bacteria liability coverage that's before us today. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I need, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I've unfortunately had to read that policy. It also covers general liability, but we have an umbrella policy above this. So this is our base policy, and then there's an umbrella policy above it.
Okay. Any other discussion? In that case, I'll call the question for the approval of the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda is approved. Those items will not be discussed further today. Now I call for the approval of the minutes for the regular meeting scheduled on May 6th of this year and the special meeting that was held on June 3rd of this year. You've all received the minutes and you've had an opportunity to read them. Is there any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, is there a motion to approve the minutes as they were sent to you? Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the minutes be approved for those dates. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes for those two meetings have been approved unanimously. Now we have item 104, and I'm going to allow the staff to move forward and give their presentation.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. This is an exciting project. This is the preliminary bond authorization for Park and Market. This is a City and Civic San Diego deal. As the name suggests, it's located at the corner of Park and Market. It's a 34-story mixed-use development composed of 427 residential units, 5,200 square feet of office space, and 23,000 square feet of retail. The project also includes an outdoor amphitheater, public plaza, and rehabilitation of the historic Remen House. This site is currently city-owned land. Civic is acting on behalf of the city. They issued a request for qualifications and a request for proposals, which was released in 2014. Holland Partners was selected as the highest qualified respondent. The city and Holland Partners are currently in exclusive negotiations and preparing the disposition and development agreement. The Housing Commission is acting as conduit bond issuer only. We have no Housing Commission funding in this deal. Some of the things I would like to point out before Cameron provides a comprehensive overview is that part of the RFP process, Civic required that 15% of the residential units were affordable. Holland voluntarily elected to restrict 20% of the units to 50% of the area median income. The result was 22 additional affordable housing units in this development. The second point I'd like to point out is that the developer is providing approximately $47 million in their own equity, and their upfront fee, which is $7.7 million, is equivalent to about 2.9% of the total development cost. So with that, I'll turn it over to Cameron.
Good morning, Commissioners and Chair Gramling.
The item before you is a request that the Housing Commission make a recommendation to the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego to initiate the steps for the issuance of multifamily housing revenue bonds for the development of Park and Market, which include the following actions: to issue a bond inducement resolution for up to $225 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds to finance the project, authorize application submittals to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, approve the selected financing team comprised of Squire Sanders as bond counsel and Ross Financial as financial advisor, request that the City Council of the City of San Diego hold a Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act public hearing and adopt a resolution approving the issuance of bonds. Furthermore, we request that a recommendation be made that authorizes the President and CEO of the Housing Commission to execute and perform all acts as necessary or appropriate to implement upon advice of General Counsel. Once again, these are preliminary steps to issue bonds, and the project will be brought forward once again in October for final approval prior to the issuance of bonds. The project site is located at the northwest corner of Park Boulevard and Market Street, as you can see here in this slide. That's exactly four blocks south of our current location. And once again, here are some renderings which Ted went through. As mentioned, this is a mixed-use project that is being developed in partnership with Civic San Diego. There are several on-site private amenities in the residential building, which will include a community room, fitness center, swimming pool, and multiple outdoor terraces. The residential component will be comprised of 427 units in a 34-story Type 1 construction building with subterranean parking. 86 units, or 20% of the total units in the building, will be set aside for households at or below 50% of area median income. A complete development summary is provided in Table 1 of the staff report before you. Holland Partner Group, as selected competitively by Civic San Diego, will be developing the site in partnership with North America Sekisui House. To be formed affiliates of both developers will be tax credit investors in the financing structure for the development. The total development cost for this project is estimated at $263.4 million, with bonds and tax credit equity as the sole sources of financing. There is no Housing Commission funding being proposed for this project. As previously mentioned, the developer fee is approximately $7.6 million, which accounts for 2.9% of the total development cost. This development cost equates to $550 per unit, or $354 per square foot of gross residential area, which is roughly in line with similar developments in the downtown, affordable developments in the downtown area, which you can see in Table 5 when accounting for increases in construction costs and the massive scale of this development. The unit mix of the affordable component will be roughly proportional to that of the market rate units, with 28 studio units, 23 one-bedroom units, 26 two-bedroom units, and 9 three-bedroom units. All 86 of the units, or 20% of the units, will be restricted at or below 50% of area median income for 55 years. Approval of these steps, including approval of a bond inducement resolution, would not commit the Housing Authority to issue bonds, and bonds would not constitute a debt of the city. If bonds are ultimately issued for the project, the bonds will not financially obligate the city, the Housing Authority, or the Housing Commission, because security for the repayment of these bonds will be limited to the specific private revenue sources generated by the project. If approved by Housing Authority, the developer will apply to CIDLAC and TCAC for allocations in July. Staff will return to the Housing Commission board in October for final bond authorizations. Based on the current estimated schedule, financing will close by the end of the year, and construction will commence in January. Holland anticipates that construction will be completed sometime in the fall of 2018. This concludes staff's presentation, and we also have representatives from Holland Partner Group, as well as Civic San Diego on hand to answer any questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Cerny?
Thank you very much. Can you, and maybe this is a repeat, but how did you determine how many bedrooms for the affordable housing? Or did you mix it up?
Civic San Diego's, are you referring to the unit mix or the total number of units?
No, the unit mix. Does that consist of 1, 2, 3 bedroom?
Yes, it consists
of... Did I miss where you put that in the report?
Correct. That's on table 6 here. Yes. There are studios, 1 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, and 3 bedroom units.
And that's on slide 11?
Right, yeah. That's on page 5.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Spoon?
I think it's important to remember that this is a market rate project. It's a market rate development. This is the first time I became aware that financing through the tax credit program that was designed for affordable housing can be used for market rate projects if affordable units are included. So I think that's exciting news for our board, certainly, and I hope that you're able to bring more of these projects to us. I think it's a wonderful program, and it's a way that we can enlist the aid of market rate developers in providing more affordable projects. This is awesome financing. I mean, 4% financing is great. So thank you for bringing this to us.
Did I hear you say that it's going to include more units than what would actually be required?
Right. So Civic San Diego, as part of their RFP process, required the developers include at least 15% of the 427 units as affordable. They voluntarily elected to restrict 20%. So
wonderful. Thank you.
Are the representatives of the developer here? Maybe they can stand up and introduce themselves.
They are. Or maybe they're not. I know that they're coming down from Los Angeles, so they might have gotten stuck in traffic. I'm not sure.
That's fine.
Are we anticipating any issues for the developer obtaining the DDA?
That's a question for Civic San Diego. Eli Sanchez is here, and he can probably talk about those negotiations. I know that they're currently underway.
Please push the button and make the light come on.
There we go. Red. Good morning, Eli Sanchez, Senior Project Manager, Civic San Diego. We currently are in negotiations with the developer, and we are concurrently also processing their entitlement permits. And we're anticipating that the DDA will probably conclude within the next 30 to 45 days as far as the developer signing it, and then we probably will take it dependent upon the time frame or schedule for the entitlements. It's going to take a little bit longer for the entitlements. They have a couple nuances. There's a historic resource on the site, so that's going to need to go through HRB, the Historic Resource Board, as well as the Planning Commission, so that's going to add a little bit of time. But we are making very good progress on the DDA negotiations, and we're pretty close to being done. So we should be moving forward in September or October with that DDA going forward to the City Council. I want to point something else out as far as Holland. We did have a requirement for the 15% affordable housing. Not only did they do the 20%, but our requirement was that 10% of it would be at 65% AMI, and 10% could go as high as 110%, and they came in with the project that's 20% at 50%. So very excited about this project.
While you're still there, what is their proposal for that historic building?
To rehabilitate it in accordance with the Secretariat of Interior standards and to put it to use as a commercial retail space.
Also, I believe there's a preliminary design review committee hearing at Civic San Diego scheduled, I think, on the 12th of July, and also with the downtown community planning group on the 13th of July. Do you anticipate any significant changes, proposals coming forward out of either of those hearings?
We just had a meeting with them yesterday about design review, and there are some refinements that we're asking for as far as the appearance, and but nothing that should impact the form and mass, which would have any kind of an impact on the number of units or anything of that nature.
It is, as staff said, it's a massive building, and are there any concerns regarding shading and the other aspects?
It's interesting that you ask. It's actually in an overlay zone for the East Village Park, and so they had to situate the building as far to the 11th Avenue side as possibly could, and it's two portions, two elements, and one closest to Park Boulevard is a little bit lower so that they could meet that shading issue. So, no, but everything is going forward as well.
Also, I know that at a meeting of the East Village Residents Group a couple of nights ago, they expressed concerns about the fact that the courtyard was going to disappear. Are there any hopes to relocate that to another place downtown?
We'd like to see that happen. The courtyard was put in there on a temporary interim basis pending the development of the site. And I think actually the developer is talking to courtyards perhaps if they might be interested in the retail space or some other space associated with the project. However, it's all able to be picked up and moved to another site. I'd also like to include another aspect here is that we also required them to be 300 feet. So that size is into the air as far as height is something because we're trying to create an example out in the East Village as far as like what can be achieved with the market rate project as well as including affordable housing. So.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions, discussions? Is there a motion of any kind? Oops, hold on. Council's concern there is that I live in East Village, and we wanted to be certain that I live outside of the restricted zone in terms of my being able to participate in a vote. And I think we've satisfied council as to that. So,
And for the record, so we can incorporate this into the record, we've determined that Chair Gramling's residence is more than 500 feet from the location of the project, so he's free to vote.
So, now, is there a motion? Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Tassin has moved approval of the proposal. Is there a second? Commissioner Spoon has seconded that proposal. Any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye. Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Next item is item 105, loan recommendation for Vista Del Puente. We do have a speaker request on that one. I will wait until after the staff has made the proposal before I call the speaker. So, Martha, I will call you, but not yet. Well, that was the one I didn't think you wanted to speak on. Okay. Staff?
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman and board members. Ted Miyahara, Director of Housing Finance. And again, with me is Cameron Shariati. This next project is a loan recommendation for Vista Del Puente. This is a proposed development, which is a blend of permanent supportive housing and family housing. This is the third project coming out of our Housing First San Diego NOFA. As a little background on our two previous deals, both were approved. They both received 9% tax credits, and they're both currently under construction. So I wanted to provide the board with an update that things on that front are doing very well. This is another 9% tax credit structure. They'll be applying for credits next week if approved. As you know, 9% tax credits are awarded on a competitive basis. Staff thinks we have structured this deal to have a really good shot at securing funding next round. This is a unique site with some construction challenges. However, this development provides the Housing Commission with the opportunity to leverage our funding. The developer has secured funding commitments from the state of California in the amount of $3.3 million. We would be leveraging our money along with the state, and this is just a great opportunity to add permanent supportive housing and family housing to the city's affordable housing stock. With that, I'll turn it over to Cameron.
Good morning once again. Item 105 is a request that the Housing Commission make a recommendation to the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego to take the following actions. Approve a residual receipts loan in the amount not to exceed $3 million to a to-be-formed limited partnership comprised of National Community Renaissance of California and townspeople as general co-general partners for the development of Vista del Puente, contingent upon receiving all necessary third-party funding commitments, including 9% tax credits. In addition, to authorize the Housing Commission CEO to execute all necessary documents and instruments and to take actions as necessary or appropriate to implement upon advice of General Counsel, and to adjust financing terms and conditions as necessary, and to substitute approved funding sources with any other funding sources as deemed appropriate based on budget availability. Vista del Puente is a proposed 52-unit new construction affordable housing development to be located at the intersection of Gamma Street and South 40th Street in the South Crest neighborhood of southeastern San Diego, east of Interstate 5 and south of National Avenue, as you can see in the aerial photo in slide 3. Here you can see a street view of a street view photo of the proposed project site. This development will provide housing opportunities for 26 homeless veterans and 12 additional homeless households utilizing the Housing First model, which emphasizes permanent supportive housing with case management and wraparound services to stabilize tenants. The remaining 13 units will be traditional affordable housing units. The proposed development is a three-story, roughly 61,000 square foot type 5 construction building on a 2-acre lot, and the unit mix is comprised of 6 one-bedroom units, 32 bedroom units, and 13 3-bedroom units. Additionally, there will be approximately 2,500 square feet of community space that will accommodate resident counseling as well as resident services. Other project amenities include manager and resident services offices, secured entry, a tot lot, barbecue area, and a laundry room. During the 15-year tax credit compliance period, Vista del Puente will be developed by a to-be-formed limited partnership comprised of National Community Renaissance of California as administrative general partner and townspeople as the managing general partner. NCRC is a large nonprofit affordable housing developer with a 20-year history in real estate development, property management, and social services. And they have developments in 4 states with a portfolio comprised of 77 assets and approximately 8,300 units. Developments in San Diego include Talmadge Senior Village, Parkside Apartments, Vista Teresa, and Vista Terrazzo too. Townspeople is a property owner that specializes in serving special needs populations and providing supportive services to those residents. And they currently own 3 affordable developments comprised of 66 units. The total development cost of this project is approximately $20.7 million. In addition to Housing Commission funding, other sources will include 9% tax credit equity, a permanent loan, the state Veterans Housing Program, funding from the state's Veteran Housing Program, a federal home loan bank loan, and funds from funders together. This development cost equates to approximately $400,000 per unit or $211 per square foot of gross building area. The Housing Commission engaged the Gordian Group to evaluate the proposal and provide construction hard cost estimates. The report provided by the Gordian Group validated the estimates provided by the developer in this case. Vista Del Puente would provide housing to households at or below 60% of area median income for 55 years under the proposed financing structure as seen in Table 7. A portion of the targeted tenant population is extremely low income and does not have a stable source of income to pay rent, and as such, the developer has applied to the Housing Commission for 38 federal project-based housing vouchers to provide rental assistance and to supplement tenant rental payments. The developer will be applying for tax credits at the end of June, and they hope to break ground and close financing and break ground in March and complete the project, I would say, by the second quarter of 2018 at this point. This concludes staff's presentation, and once again, we have representatives from National Community Renaissance of California and townspeople on hand to answer any questions. Thank you.
Commissioners, any questions? Well, then I get to ask a couple. And this is more of a commentary. Pardon me. Before I do that, Martha? You know the drill by now.
Martha, I'm more into the other one. But anyway, same thing. I'm going to check this out personally. I'm going to go to these streets right now. I know towns very well. I'm going to go there and check this out because Section 8 vouchers again. Everything is different in this county. You know, it's designated and tax credit. I don't think it's not going in the state everywhere. I'll just check this out. I can't talk about this. I was very the other one, so I'm going to check this out everywhere. I'm going to talk to everybody on this list and talk about what's going on in San Diego. Talk to them.
Okay, Martha, I apologize for calling you up for the wrong one, but you'll have another opportunity on that one when it comes back for a final approval. So, okay, now, a commentary. We just approved, on a preliminary basis, in the words of staff, a massive 427-unit mixed-use and housing project, housing development. And it would include 86 low-income units permanently, well, restricted for 55 years. And one of the points that you made during your presentation was that the developer's fee was less than 3% on that project. The developer's fee on this project, as it's being proposed, is 14%. And, again, I realize that that is an amount that the state of California will permit. But to me, I won't tell you what some of the words that I think about it, but I think it's excessive. And I think that our developers need to find a way to either lower that percentage, or they need to find a way to convince us that a portion of that percentage is going to be reinvested in other projects in San Diego, because 14% developer's fee is, as a former private for-profit builder, I never got 14% as a developer's fee, but I was for-profit on that. So, just I'm shooting around across the bow of the ship and letting everyone know how I personally feel about that. Okay. Next item is on that particular project. It calls for utilizing the assistance of Veterans Village to provide services for the veterans, the homeless veterans that are going to be housed in this facility. But I'm not sure. Is Veterans Village going to come to the development, or are the veterans going to be forced to find transportation to get over to Veterans Village?
We could have either John Seymour or John Derryberry provide an answer to that. They were involved with negotiating the agreement with VVSD, so if they could come up and answer that question, that'd be great.
Ch- John Derryberry, Executive Director of Townspeople. Veterans Village would come on site. Their portion of the service delivery is in addition to what townspeople, staff, case management, and resident services that are already there would be provided. The VVSD portion would be for those higher case needs. If I may, don't want to challenge your math, but we see that that developer fee is basically 6%, not 14.
It's well, 1. I'm looking. Oh, divided by 20.7.
Okay. Gosh, I'm sorry. It's only 7%. Okay. It's still about a little bit more than twice as large as the one on the other project. So, but thank you for correcting me. Commissioner Chasson?
Our involvement, our subsidy in this project, roughly 15%. Of the overall construction costs?
Yes, that sounds about right, Commissioner.
What order are we in potential payback? Or what order are we in something if this were to be default in some way?
So I believe the state, this particular program, the VHHP, which is the Veterans Homeless Prevention Program, the regulations are pursuant to the MHP program, and I believe that unless our investment is either, I believe it's around 150%, we would have to subordinate. And in the case of this particular deal, the state has $3.3 million in financing. Ours is $3 million, so there's just more. Therefore, they would be in priority positions. So in the event of default, they would have priority over any foreclosure proceeds.
Thank you.
I might speak to that as well. Normally, when we get into this situation, the subordination agreement will be sent to us for review, and we'll build in, in effect, a standstill provision that if there's a default, under the terms of either the first or the second, that provided the commission cures the default, that we would then have the ability under our cross-default provision to foreclose and become the owner. So that's the way we protect our interest.
Thank you.
Well, I'm excited about getting more housing for homeless vets, so that's one of the underlying important things to remember on this. So, commissioners, is there a motion of any kind?
Someone.
Commissioner Spoon has moved approval of the project as is. Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that motion. Any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Next item is 107, Workshop and Discussion, Loan Portfolio Asset Management.
And while they bring up our PowerPoint presentation, I'll just do a brief introduction. I'm Ann Kern, Vice President of Housing Finance and Program Development. And your presenters this morning are Ted Miyahara, our Director of Housing Finance, and Mi-Young Lee, our Senior Asset Manager. And with them is also their team of Housing Construction Specialists, Jesus Valdez and Kim Skinner. And we're very pleased this morning to present you with some information regarding our efforts to create a new multifamily loan portfolio asset management practice and procedure. As you know, our entire loan portfolio, we believe, is fairly large. It's about $330 million, and it fluctuates as new loans are closed and as loans are paid off. But the largest dollar amount of this loan portfolio consists of our multifamily loan assets, which is over $200 million. although by sheer number, the largest number of loans in our portfolio are home buyer loans, which are about 1,400 loans and $50 million. And given the significance, though, of the multifamily loan portfolio as the largest part of our assets, one of our strategic plan initiatives was to develop new practices and procedures to provide increased oversight of these valuable loan assets. So Ted Mihara and me, Young Lee, will provide you with information regarding what we've been doing on these efforts in our strategic plan initiatives, so where we've been, where we're at, and where we're going. So Ted, please.
Thank you, Ann, and good morning again, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. With me is Myung Lee, Senior Asset Manager. So the board probably recalls the Housing Commission's asset and portfolio management presentation in July of 2015. This is a drill down on our multifamily loan portfolio asset management function. So the objective of the multifamily section is to ensure the long-term financial feasibility and financial stewardship of our multifamily housing projects that we serve in as lender. The Housing Commission is responsible for safeguarding the assets. We do this through mitigation of risk and also maximizing public benefits. The private sector often measures their success by profitability. They're driven by the bottom line. The Housing Commission has a double bottom line. We have similar financial aspects. We have to stay solvent. But the second part to that equation is the social aspect. We're about people and impacting communities throughout San Diego. Today we plan on sharing our strategic planning efforts, the framework to our loan portfolio asset management strategy, how we have approached this function, and how we plan to roll out our asset management plan. So our portfolio is $223 million in principal balance. It has $36 million in accrued interest. It's composed of 98 assets totaling 123 loans, and it's just over 7,000 units. There are three essential elements to our asset management function. There's the operational oversight of the assets, monitoring the physical condition of the assets, and also monitoring the regulatory compliance of those units. The strength and security of our loan portfolio is directly impacted by our asset management oversight. These three functions need to be in balance for our portfolio to remain in good standing. I should note that the monitoring of our regulatory compliance is extremely strong. That has never been in jeopardy. But in the spirit of today's workshop and being totally transparent with our process, I think it's important to note that we have been lacking in certain areas, particularly the operational oversight and monitoring the physical condition of our assets. In previous years, we've just lacked the resources. That's the short answer to why we were lacking in those two areas. But Rick, Debbie, and Jeff recognized that the commission could do a better job of overseeing those areas, and they put a strategic plan into place to realign some of our resources with the goal of reinforcing the Housing Commission's commitment to safeguarding our assets. I'm pleased to report today that we do have enough resources in place. We hired Myung Lee last year as our senior asset manager. She has an extensive background in planning and also affordable housing. She has worked for the City of Oakland. She's worked for LISC and also a handful of developers. Kim Skinner and Jesus Valdez are our construction specialists. They have degrees in engineering. They've both been general contractors before coming to the Housing Commission. And we also hired a temporary asset manager, Patrick Zamora, to help us get our asset management platform off the ground. So our goals are to establish and define the loan portfolio asset management function. We want to develop an asset management platform to fit our organizational needs. We want to mitigate risk and maximize public benefit. I want to stress the importance of the second bullet, which is the asset management platform to fit our organizational needs. What we're going to do is develop a database. We're going to scrub that data and ensure that the integrity of that data is accurate so that moving forward, any information that we have is reliable. We're going to leverage all that data through the use of information technology to develop business intelligence tools. there's going to be a lot of interdepartmental collaboration. For example, if I have a question about property management, I'm picking up the phone, I'm calling Jennifer McKinney and her team. If I want to get into the head of a developer, I'm going to take Mike Pavko out to lunch and talk to him about questions I have. Fiscal will be playing a major role in ensuring that the data that we have is accurate and that the numbers are accurate. And IT is going to be instrumental in developing our platform. There's going to be a lot of collaboration here at the agency to make sure that we do this right. So our implementation plan includes the TCAM playbook, physically inspecting our loan portfolio assets, developing deal books for each of the assets, developing our asset management platform through the use of Tableau and Yardi, and developing analytical reports for management. Each of these items could have their own workshop. I don't think we have lunch scheduled for today, so we're going to summarize each of them for you. The TCAM playbook includes policies, procedures, and guidelines that have been developed based on best practices of both the private and public sector. We use this playbook to ensure that the most effective and cost-efficient business practices are in place. This is our guidebook. We use this as our protocol to ensure that the Housing Commission real estate portfolio is economically and physically sustainable. We're currently dialing in our playbook and augmenting it as we move through the process. Physically inspecting our assets. Last year, the two inspectors inspected 72 assets, and that's just in the last fiscal year. We tiered and prioritized our assets based off of the age. We inspected everything up to 2010. Anything built or rehabbed after 2010 was not inspected. Those are newer properties that should be in relatively good condition. Prior to conducting the inspections, we developed an inspection protocol, an inspection scoring model, and physical condition assessment report. So if I could direct the board members to flag one, what we've done is provided you with a deal book. And flag one is our physical inspection. A part of our in physical inspection is really the scope of work. And what we did was, we got boots on the ground and inspected the units. We looked at the site, the envelope, the building systems, common areas, and the units. The inspectors completed a physical inspection report for each of the assets, and the intent of that was to really wrap our arms around each of the assets, and we wanted to know them well. We approached our inspection protocol with our lender hats on. We weren't necessarily focused with things such as old carpets or buildings that could use a fresh coat of paint. Our goal was really focused on the health and safety of our tenants and the long-term viability of each of the assets. If I can now direct you to flag two, it's on the top. This is our asset overview page, and this section includes the physical attributes of each of the assets. We wanted to develop a deep dive and get really granular on the assets. We wanted to know things like, are the ranges gas or electric? Are the units submetered? Are units served by a central boiler system, or are they individually water? Do they have individual water heaters? Have the windows been replaced? And if so, are they retros or are they nail thin? We wanted to get really granular so that we knew these assets. And moving forward, as Mi Young and her team looks at repositioning and asset workouts, we know what's at the property. Our physical needs assessments walk the readers through the assets and provide a narrative along with photo documentation. Flag four is the deficiency section. Our inspectors identify deficiencies at the assets. They also make recommendations on how to cure them. And with those deficiencies, they make their way into a 15-year capital replacement table to help us evaluate the immediate repairs that are necessary, the short, mid, and long-term capital needs of the asset. Each of the assets is scored based on its physical condition and the deficiencies that are identified.
Good morning. You've been looking at the deal book right now, and there are tabs on the top. They're numbered. This particular deal book is being pulled together for each of our assets. So each of our assets have a very complicated funding sources and partnership entities that are involved. We, in the process of developing the deal book, we're really going into each property and taking a very good look at who is involved, what kind of partnership is involved, and who they are, and multiple layers of funding sources, and really trying to figure out what are the requirements, what are the compliance requirements and regulatory requirements and financial requirements that are in there that are impacting the San Diego Housing Commission loan repayment. So we'll be looking at audit financial statements, their loan documents, limited partnership agreements, and all the other regulatory agreements to really pull all the information that are really pertinent to our loan. And as in the process of doing that, we will be putting down all the information that are pertinent and really creating a database for this. And then an in-depth financial analysis is carried out, accounting for all the financial requirements imposed by these multiple entities and funders. So please, if you could turn to tab 6 in your deal book. This is a project snapshot. We're really pulling all the information together to really give you at a glance look at this particular asset. It talks about
tab 6 on top. I'm sorry, not the tabs to the right, but the
right,
tabs on the top is the sheet that Myung's on. Sorry for interjecting.
So we've got chapters and then tabs on top. Okay. So this is at a glance take a look at it. If anyone wants to have any quick information about what the project is about, what the asset is about, this is it, who the borrower is, where they are, and what type of housing we're talking about and what kind of capacity that we have. It talks about the source of funding, okay, deal structure, and partnership structure. And on the bottom, you have the affordability restrictions that really outlines what the area medium income and income guidelines and affordability restrictions are. And then on the right-hand side, you have all the loan agreement and promissory notes. If you want to have a closer look at it and really read the originals, we have linked this particular tab into each of the documents. So at a click, it takes you directly to the documents. So this is an example of how we are streamlining the whole processes and making information readily available for management and staff as well, not just our staff but interdepartment staff as well. So we've done a lot of these information gathering, and if you could turn to tab 7 of your binder, okay, again on the top, number 7, this is the loan assessment. So we're pulling all this information together, and we've done a lot of assessments. So at this point, we've thoroughly inspected the property, as you've seen in the property condition score. So we have the property condition score already. We have spoken with our compliance monitoring section, and we know where they stand in terms of the compliance. We have completed the in-depth financial review. Now we're pulling all this information to paint the whole picture of the asset and its performance and the underlying risk for each of our assets. So we're ready to evaluate the assets. This is where we're incorporating three elements of the asset. How are we doing financially? What is your physical condition? And are they in compliance with affordability and all the other regulatory requirements? So if you look at this, some of the key performing indicators that I look for is the asset repaying the commission loan, hopefully? Are they fully occupied? Or is there a vacancy rate within the industry norm? Are they collecting rent? Will reserve cover the long-term capital needs improvement? These key indicators show whether the owner is operating the project most efficiently. The final asset score down on the bottom, okay, with a red circle, 86 in this case, is the final report card score. this is how the project is doing. So the green represents good to excellent. Yellow needs some of our attention. Red is performing under San Diego Housing Commission standard. So each asset will have this report card. We're talking about 98 assets will have this particular report card. And we could pull them all together and take a look at our whole portfolio as a one report card score.
Before you move forward, on the green, the 86 that this project has, what's the lowest acceptable? I mean, when does it go to yellow?
When does it go to yellow? We've taken a look at it, incorporating all this information, and really just it goes to yellow at 68. So below 68 from 0 to 33 is really a substandard. Okay, 34 to 68 is yellow. Okay. And 68 and above is green. Again, we're just really incorporating the physical and all the aspects together.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Good morning, commissioners. I want to point out that this risk rating system is used in major banks, and it's an excellent tool for visual inspection at a glance. While you're looking at a hard copy of this, each deal book is also electronic, and this is something that Rick and Jeff and I can look at a glance and see what's going on. Also, when a deal is rated and it's yellow, that means it goes before an internal committee on a more frequent basis to check in with the borrower, the project, to see that we're getting it into the green. Yellow is not acceptable either. So it's a tool for us to calendar our annual review of our assets. And if they're green, then we look at them once a year. If they're yellow, we're looking at them 2, 3, 4 times a year. And if they're red, we're meeting monthly or weekly to discuss them.
Commissioner Tassa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an excellent tool. And I want a couple questions. So, like, for example, on the example that you're showing us right now, on the loan to value of this asset here, is this telling us that it's upside down financially? Okay.
Correct. However, this is a very good tool. So if there's a red, I'm going to go right into it and really delve into what's going on. Oftentimes our properties have so much. We have a hard debt that we must be able to cover. And oftentimes the banks just look at that one. And when you talk about loan to value, but we also have various different layers of what's called soft loans. We may have state funding. We may have HUD funding.
Yeah.
I'm incorporating all of that.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. The other question I had is we're using this for current assets, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Do we use a similar model for properties that we're considering?
Sure. In terms of financial analysis, as we analyze assets for a potential purchase?
Yes.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we look at the economics of the deal, the financial performance of the deal, and whether or not it makes sense for us. So, you know, at the end of the day, it has to make dollars and cents. We don't want to purchase an asset that could potentially go upside down. So we do look at the operations of the asset, the historicals, things of that nature to ensure that it meets standards of the Housing Commission.
Okay. Thank you.
And I also just want to add, one of the future things that we're going to be doing with the tools and the reporting is to do the trend analysis of the assets, not only the individual assets, but by borrower, so that when we underwrite new deals, we can look at the historic averages of expenses, and then that is going to factor into our future underwriting. So it's very important, as well as for trend analysis.
Okay.
I have a question. How do you, on the existing assets, how are you determining value, the denominator?
So what we could do is look at, do a simple income approach. So, you know, and apply the NOI with the cap rate. And obviously that cap rate is going to fluctuate based on location, asset type, whether it's senior, multifamily, et cetera, et cetera. So we can generalize and provide some hypothetical values just to see kind of a loan-to-value, but there's not an exact science unless we go out to the market, get an appraiser to really conduct a true appraisal, but we can do a quick and dirty, and that's part of our process, just to see where our position is. We're actively in the market, so whether HDP is acquiring something or we underwrite a deal, we're actually the local reviewing agency for the tax credit committee, so we get every appraisal that goes to the tax credit system here in San Diego, so we can look at different market areas and pull those cap rates out of those appraisals.
Commissioner Moraga, you had a question.
And back to your comment about the analysis of the loan providers, in the future, will that be accompanied in the board reports for review?
Well, we certainly can include that. I know it's going to be a part of our evaluation, as well as we did want to provide more information on the loans themselves and the historic performance of those assets. So we would like to include that going forward when we have it.
I think that's an excellent question, Commissioner. And right now we're in the infant stages. We're still crawling. But once we get this platform up and running, that's exactly where we want to go with it, where we're actually making data-driven decisions. So that's the goal of this.
Commissioner Tassel.
Is this a product that we developed, or is this an off-the-shelf product that we've acquired?
We've developed it ourselves. We've actually engaged TCAM, who works with large agencies like City of San Jose, County of Santa Clara, New York, Atlanta, Georgia. So they're, and to back up a minute, this is new for the affordable housing industry. We're at the cutting edge of developing asset management policies and procedures. So we're kind of setting the trend on moving forward and best practices. So we've done this in collaboration with a private consultant and as well as collaboration here at the agency.
And if I could also add, affordable housing industry is starting to do this as well. So I've done this very similar kind of things in other nonprofit organizations that I was involved with.
I'm going to echo what Frank said a moment ago. This is, I really like the approach overall, and I think it's long overdue and is going to be very, very helpful. I do have one picky, but it's a safety concern. On your tab, upper tab 2, where you have listed the various characteristics of the property, you've got listed here fire alarms, but you've got gas appliances in every unit. You did not list carbon monoxide detectors, which have been required since January of 2013.
Right, and that's part of the standard protocol that our inspectors go through. So, for instance,
it's not shown here. I don't see a carbon monoxide detector there.
Sure. I understand that. I understand that it's now part of code, so it is required. So if they're missing, in section, I believe, 4 or 5, there's a deficiency section where the inspectors actually identify deficiencies that they uncover when they're out at the properties that will be noted. And part of that deficiency section, they note whether it's a health and safety issue or just general, you know, maintenance or capital replacement items. So that will go to the top of the list. And it also translates to our 15-year capital replacement table where there's a section for immediate repairs, and that would fall under that, where we give the borrowers a 15- to 30-day notice to tell them, fix this immediately. We'll be back out at the property to inspect to make sure that you fixed what we found. Still dialing it in.
Commissioner?
I want to go back to Frank's comment about the Housing Commission developing this process. Would it be advantageous to work with counsel to either copyright or trademark some of this as we move forward? I'm serious.
I understand.
This is a cutting edge proposal. This is something we might want
Chuck
to
Chuck has something to say.
Yeah, I do. That's a good idea. And you could then sell it with a licensing fee, but which goes to one of the things was being discussed in the strategic planning meeting this morning, to get additional income for the agency. So it is something maybe we should look at. Particularly, this is Star Wars stuff. It is really good.
It actually is. You may remember Emmanuel Arellano and Jennifer McKinney being up here with Tax Credit Asset Management. It's taken us 2 years to get to this point. And as Ted and Myung said, all the departments in the Housing Commission, from IT to finance to communications, have had a hand in getting us here. This is something that other housing authorities can use, and we could be consultants to other housing authorities to do this. We have had to create processes that didn't exist here before. We had to create jobs that didn't exist here before. But this is the right way to take care of your portfolio. We're very proud of this.
I agree with you completely. Do have a question. Have you put the inspection form onto the iPad so that the guys don't have to carry paper? They can just, with the iPad, input it.
And that's a great question. And, you know, we did do that, and we're also tied to the cloud. So, for instance, the guys are out in the field with their pads, and they're completing their report, and it's, you know, instantly uploaded to our server. But in addition to that, they can pull information, you know, because they're in the cloud, while they're in the field. And I think that property management is doing something similar with the maintenance folks. But it's surprising me, because I'm kind of a dummy when it comes to the technical side. But they are doing that.
How many projects do you have completed?
So we can wrap this up in a couple minutes. And the next slide, actually, that's up right now is kind of our accomplishments within the last fiscal year. So why don't we wrap up, if that's okay, and we can report on that right now.
I've been wanting to present this, okay? We inspected 72 properties and made a financial assessment with 63 assets and completed 68 residual computation of the property. Next slide, okay? And I'm very, very happy to present that 63 completed property assets, 75% of the properties that we've assessed are in good to excellent condition. And 19% are on the watch list, and 4% are below standard. So as Debbie had mentioned before, the watch list properties mean that we really are taking a very, very good look at it, and we want to try to figure out what to do, okay, and really having a better understanding of why they are here. And having an internal communication, internal discussions about these properties. For four properties that are under substandard, we just couldn't wait. So we already started working with the borrowers to bring the properties back into according to our standards. That's it. Very happy to be reporting.
And refresh, you said there were 98 total properties, and now you've done 72 of the 98. Is that correct?
Completed, right. Correct.
The physical inspections, but we've completed 63 full assessments. So, you know, and we expect, and I'll run through, moving forward, we expect to complete the rest of the physical inspections by September, and those are the 2011 or newer assets. We're going to complete all of the loan assessments by the end of 2016, and we're in process right now with the PMO's office to get going on the data metrics and using Tableau to report on our portfolio as a whole.
Question.
Just to clarify, is it 4% or 6% that's below standard?
Of our total portfolio. Of the 63 that was completed, I'm sorry.
Congratulations to everyone involved. It was an amazing project. Where's the, since you're still working on the Tableau portion, where's the data being held right now?
So we're behind in terms of today's technology. We're warehousing it on our server, but the goal is to, create a central data warehouse, scrub that data, make sure that the integrity of that data is good through help of IT and our fiscal department. And then what we'll do is warehouse that somewhere or wherever IT recommends, and then it will be used. I think it's going to probably be Yardi, and then Tableau will pull all that information from Yardi. But that's yet to be determined by our IT department.
Commissioner Davis.
Just one question. This might be too involved, I'm not sure, but how are we protected security-wise from any breaches of people getting into information they shouldn't have, or how do you take care of that?
That's a question for Carrie Clements in IT. I don't have that answer.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Commissioners, anything else? Thank you very much. It's looking forward to the next report, see what the additional improvement is. So thank you. This completes the public agenda of our meeting today. And so I'm going to turn this over to council, and we'll go from there. Thank you all.
The commission will now meet in closed session to discuss its closed session agenda, which should be brief.